You know, we used to have a standard of 4.5 hospital beds per 1,000 people, and now we're at about 2.6, I think. That doesn't sound like much of a difference. But when you get into a situation where you do have a crisis, we don't have the in-depth capability, the redundancy in the economy that an ordinary American would expect to have. The austerity, the shutdown of hospitals and things of that sort over a 50-year period have created a crisis that they're trying to deal with. I think some people are seriously trying to grapple with that because there are lives at stake and you have to address that. But you have to distinguish that, separate that from what's going on in the financial world. And they're actually implementing these programs now while no one's paying attention. And people aren't knowing it because they're watching the daily press conferences of the medical team. They're, you know, watching to see if they're going to be allowed out of the house to go shopping. You know, people are truly being put through a lot of anxiety and stress. People are losing jobs. They're seeing their businesses shut down. So in this context, it's a perfect moment to go ahead with a bigger bailout. I think what they're ultimately planning is massive population reduction and a top-down global bankers dictatorship.
With the COVID-19 virus crisis and the number of casualties with the flu, if you have not been looking at C60 as a means to significantly improve your immunities by now, you should be. Here's why. First, a strong and healthy immune system is your body's first defense, and for those with a strong immune system, your body will adequately fight viruses without medical intervention. Second, C60 is safe as long as you are taking high-quality C60 with no added fillers or solvents. Third, C60 is the best means of removing free radicals from your body that exists. It's at least 200 times better at this function than vitamin C and any other antioxidant. Fourth, as Dr. Chu Li stated on a previous show, COVID-19 creates massive amounts of free radicals, which is causing organ failure for those with weaker immune systems. So now it becomes clear you need the best free radical fighter that exists, and that is C60 with black seed oil and curcumin. Why black seed oil and curcumin? Because these two ingredients are the absolute best at supporting C60 to fight viruses and to improve your immune system. Go to sarahwestall.com/shop and learn more about why this formula is so powerful for building your immunities. And it's now available in gel capsules and by diffuser for more serious needs. Be sure to read the research and, of course, use a current coupon to save money when you buy. Patrons also receive a 10% discount. You can find that code at patreon.com/sarahwestall. Remember, keeping you and your family safe is the most important thing you can do.
And when you ask what should we do, here's the first thing we should do in terms of the financial problem. We need Glass-Steagall banking separation. And what that would say is that if you're a commercial bank, we're going to protect you and to protect your deposits, your clients' deposits, their savings, and so on. But we're not going to protect the part of you that went into investment banking, that's brokerage and trading and so on.
We need to bring back Glass-Steagall.
Exactly.
Well, one thing before we really dive into this, the solutions, I do want to address one more thing about China. And that is that they have a point with China being a communist. They're moving more towards capitalism and so forth. And so people are having a hard time seeing that China's new behavior could be a little bit closer than what we were when we founded our country to what we are now. And it scares people because they do have a communist wrapper. And we don't like communism in that way. We like free market. We like freedom. And so there's this disconnect, you know, where the people who are trying, that are controlling us now, are worse than the people controlling China. I mean, we have kind of disconnects everywhere because we don't want communism, but we don't want what we got now. And we have to realize
we're not going to get communism in the United States. Here's the point. The people who are trying to defend a bankrupt system are smart enough to know that we came out of a 40-year Cold War with an anti-communist mentality. Now, Russia has not been communist since 1990. You know, the idea that Russia is a communist country or China, I mean, China has billionaires. That goes totally against the theory of Marx and communism. What they do have is government controlling things. But if you look at what China is doing now, they do have private corporations. They do have private corporations that are involved in all kinds of enterprises, but they're private corporations that have a relationship with the state that they know they can get credit from the state if they're going to produce. Now, you know what? We used to have the same damn thing. You know, American corporations that went by the law that were run by straight-laced people and paid their taxes, if they came up with an innovative idea, they could go to their bank and get credit. That's the American system. And we're seeing something along those lines in China. Now, you still have a Communist Party running the country in China. That's true. You don't have that in Russia, but you know, a lot of Americans still think that Russia is a communist country. Now, that's the kind of delusion that's kept in place so that swindles can be carried out. Let me give you a perfect example. Edward Snowden and Bill Binney, two of the people who are the top cyber experts in the world and paid dear price for exposing the police state, the surveillance state. Both of them have said that all this social credit and things of that sort in China, we have the same thing in the United States. Our phone calls are monitored.
Well, Bill Binney said we're ahead.
Yeah, exactly.
He said we're ahead of China.
Yeah.
On my show, yes.
Yeah.
Go ahead.
So the idea that somehow they're evil authoritarian regimes, but we're a good regime. Look, they just exposed this thing where the CIA owned a company secretly that was supposed to be safeguarding government secret messages. And it was actually a decoding system that the CIA got every single government secret messages. So when we talk about Russia...
Yeah, and that was in the Washington Post.
Yeah. So
they just came out and shared it with everybody, yeah.
Sarah, my point is not to go through all the evils that are being done by the people who run our country now, but to show that those are
exactly
people who are smart enough to try to manipulate Americans to not accept the other as someone who could be equal, to portray the Chinese as somehow deluded peasants who are under an authoritarian regime, whereas we're free to do whatever we want. Well, you know, the reality is that the same globalists who are running have destroyed our financial system and our economic system are trying to bring China into the same globalized system, and the Chinese are fighting it. The Chinese will not liberalize their banks to engage in derivative speculation. The Chinese do not allow their bankers to do the kind of foreclosures that we do in this country. So when the Trump administration was negotiating a trade deal with China, one of the things on the table is they have to accept American-style banking methods. And the Chinese said, that's one thing we will not do. Now, in this country, we've had the Federal Reserve around since 1913, but the power now of the Federal Reserve has gone far beyond even the evil intent of the people who created it in 1913. The Federal Reserve is now demanding control over fiscal policy. That's what Mark Carney, the former governor of the Bank of England,
oh my God.
That's what they're calling for. They're saying it's too important to leave to elected governments because elected governments have to bow down to the constituencies. We need people above the elected governments to make policy. That's why I think the first time you and I talked, we talked about a banker's dictatorship that's coming into being. Look at Italy. When Italy insisted after an avalanche that they be allowed to break the debt rule of the European Union to be able to come up with emergency funds for generators, the European Union said, no, you can't break the rule. And that's when the Italian people started turning against the EU. The same thing just happened with coronavirus. The Italians said we need a 7.5 billion euro bond offering. And the EU said, no, that will break your debt agreement. And the Italians said, well, screw you. We're going to do a $25 billion bond issue because we need it. And then the EU said, okay, we'll let you do that, provided you accept the new rules of the European Stability Mechanism, which is bail-ins. The Italians are fighting against the idea of banks being allowed to steal their depositors' money. And so the EU is saying, we'll only let you do that if you let us steal your depositors' money. So Italy probably will not stay in the European Union after this crisis ends.
Well, that's good.
Well, it's very good.
Well, let me ask you, I had Scott Shea on. Yeah, I had Scott Shea on, who is the chairman of Signature Bank in New York, and it's a large $50 billion in assets. And, he's not, a lot of these people just aren't aware, or they didn't want to admit it, that they don't believe this digital, he was against digital currency and being able to track everybody's thing. He's come out, he's wrote articles, he's talked about it on TED Talks. But he doesn't think that the central bankers are all in unison going against this or trying to do this. But yet legislation is going through and they're just barreling it in. Now, is it that some people just are in denial and don't realize that it's going to really happen because they've been so shielded and it's been so secretive? Or is it that people are just legitimately fighting it and there's a chance that things aren't going to happen like this?
Well, on the legislative side, forget the Congress. The Congress is going to do whatever the bankers demand. And unless the people rise up, and I was just on a Utah radio station, and they were asking me, well, what can we do? What can we do? And I reminded them in 2010, they voted out a U.S. senator, Senator Bennett, because of his support for the bailout. And they brought in Mike Lee at that time. So you have, through constituency methods, namely elections, you can change it. But that means the population has to know what's hitting them. And I would say we have two problems.
They have to be educated.
Well, there are two problems. The evil, corrupt bastards who are running the globalized system are the ones who have destroyed the education system and have created the narrative of neoliberal economics is the only way to go. Now, there are people like you, like I know quite a few people now who are fighting this and are developing networks and using that to educate people. It's still too small. We have to figure out how to take advantage of this crisis.
I know.
To reach more and more people and give them the tools they need to know, whether it's economics, history, science, culture. I mean, we have a debased culture. You talk about the pederasts and the sodomites, but look at what's been done with drugs and the whole opioid crisis. You demoralize.
I know.
You demoralize a population, and then they become putty in your hands, and rather than fighting, they'll try to escape it. Now we're at a point which could be a turning point in American history. And I'm seeing more and more of this, and I see it maybe more clearly because I'm not in the United States, but I see it from Europe. And I see how in Europe it's starting to shift. You know, in my the children's soccer WhatsApp group, someone sent a question to me the other day, and they said, do you think this whole disease thing is being used to set up a new world order? And you wouldn't expect a question from a German soccer
player. I'm not laughing because it's funny.
Yeah. So I see an awakening of consciousness. But we have to make sure that people understand that, as you were saying, what are the actions that we can take? Well, Glass-Steagall is a very clear one. It would take the power away from the speculators. And their power is mainly that they can go for the biggest risk. And if they make it, they become fabulously wealthy. And if it goes bad, they'll get bailed out. Take away the bailout. Reimpose moral hazard. That's the first step. Let them play with their own money, not the depositors' money from a commercial bank. So that's the first step. Now, secondly, you can't leave in the hands of private bankers the credit policy of a nation. Our Constitution opposed that. The credit, currency, and debt of the United States is the business of the Congress, not private bankers. And that means that we have to have a shift. And that's the Hamiltonian credit system. Now, there's been no more slandered person than Alexander Hamilton by the City of London bankers, because Hamilton built the American system. So we've got to educate people as to what the American system is. This is what Lyndon LaRouche's life was about. And of course, he was slandered all the time. They called him communist,
he was destroyed, yes,
fascist, an anti-Semite. What he was an American system patriot. And you see, as we talked about before, the same people who were deployed to target LaRouche were involved in Russiagate against Trump because they saw in Trump that American reflex against this globalized imperial system. Now, a lot of people are disappointed because Trump hasn't done everything he said he would do. The problem is not Trump. We've got to make sure the Trump base, that the American people, move ahead and call for Glass-Steagall. Trump already put it in the Republican platform in 2016, but there was not enough pressure on Republicans in Congress to get it through. Trump called for major infrastructure, and the Democrats put up a roadblock on that, and the Republicans were totally opposed to it. We've got to have the American people out front on these issues. And so, you know, I think these, what we have is something called LaRouche.
Well, Trump can't do it on his own.
Of course not.
He just can't do it on his own. And people need to realize, but there's also a smear campaign going on against Trump. And it's not impossible to do that because there are connections. Anytime anybody is successful, you can create connections that really make you look bad. And you can be creating connections to create solutions, and you can spin it to make it look bad. So that's the problem. That's why you have to look at actions as much as possible. And that's the problem, Harley. How do we get past that?
Well, let's take a simple example in the upcoming election. Suppose the Democrats have collectively lost their minds and nominate Joe Biden. You know, Joe Biden, you talk about problems, he's far more corrupt than anything you can identify with President Trump.
Oh, absolutely.
But one of the most important ones, let's get the truth out about Ukraine. The truth was not just that Hunter Biden illegally got a lot of money. The truth is that Joe Biden was part of the Obama coup that was designed to put in neo-Nazis in a government as a way of putting troops on the border with Russia, bringing Ukraine into NATO. This was part of Hillary Clinton and Obama's geopolitics. It's British geopolitics. Does this make us safer? Absolutely not. And I think President Trump is planning on making the Ukraine issue one of the key issues if he's running against Biden. Now, what do the Democrats want? They don't want to discuss that. They want to discuss Trump bungled the coronavirus.
Because it's so bad.
Yeah. So.
Yeah, the Ukraine thing is so obvious, so bad, so blatant. Now they're fixing it. You know, I think it was Rush Limbaugh, but somebody said this, and it was so true. They're fixing the election against Bernie in front of our faces, whereas last time they did it, the DNC did it, you know, undercover. They did it without people knowing. Now they fixed it against Bernie in front of everybody.
Absolutely.
And so I do think Biden's going to be. Yeah.
Well, you know,
he'll be the nominee. And now we got this corrupt person against Trump. And then they're going to spin everything to make Trump look as bad as possible when Biden, it couldn't be more of a corrupt politician. I mean, you can't find one that's more corrupt than him.
Well, not just corrupt.
Well, Biden, you could maybe, but it's going to be.
Biden's whole career was in the pocket of the Delaware credit card companies and banks. That's obvious. But you go beyond that. Whether the guy's there. I mean, you remember all the talk about Hillary's health. Biden gives much more reason for concern.
Oh, geez.
You know, when he turns to his sister and says, here's my wife, you begin to wonder where his head is. But, you know, I think the important thing is that we've got to get through this crisis. And the two components here is that we do need to have emergency legislation to give the doctors and nurses the tools they need to fight the disease. And this is the most important part of the so-called emergency. And this is the least that the Congress is worried about right now. They're putting everything else into a basket. When I think the first thing is make sure first responders and ambulance drivers and nurses and doctors have the tools they need to fight this. Then secondly, we need to reorganize the banking system, put it through financial bankruptcy reorganization, and separate the commercial banks from the investment banks, the traders, the brokers, and so on, and then get the economy going with new credit. Now, if this becomes the basis of a fight that the American people wage, this is a winning issue, because otherwise we're going to be in a hyperinflationary depression sometime after the election, because there's no way. This is, I don't know if you know this, Sarah, but at Davos, George Soros, and one of the final speakers, said, don't worry, Trump won't be reelected because the bubble will blow up before November. Now, Soros saying that.
Well, that's their plan.
That's exactly their plan. And Soros is one of the people who's involved in making it happen with his short buying and so on. So, you know, this is what they're trying to do. And the president has to be out in front of it. But we've got to make sure the American people are clued in on this. You know, that's the reason I do what I do. I do as much as I can with radio, with blogs. I write an article every week. You know, people, your listeners have been wonderful, be writing to me, and I'm in contact with many of them now. If people want to get this information from me or find out what I know, what the LaRouche policy is, what our plan is, send me an email, harleysch@gmail.com. You'll get a response from
me. Well, the hard part, go ahead.
I'll respond.
Yeah, you do so great at talking to people. Well, here's the problem, though, is that we're censored still, right?
Yeah.
And so what we got to do is we got to share this as much as possible, because, you know, I'm censored, and these shows should get hundreds of thousands of views. You should be a household name. You know, I mean, at least with the people who are relatively smart enough to follow what you're saying. I mean, it's not... This is the challenge that we have, and we've had this challenge for a while, but we're still stuck with these same tools that we have, and we're so highly censored. So we have to join the fight, all of us. We're in this together,
yeah,
of getting this information out there. I mean, we really are in a wartime footing of them taking away our freedoms and trying to, they're going to hurt a lot of people and a lot of families in this process.
I had a funny discussion with my five-year-old son the other night. He said, Papa, are you famous? And I said, no, not really. And he said, well, what can we do to make you famous? Because people should hear you.
He's smart. Sometimes kids say the most,
and
the
I
smartest
said,
stuff.
I said, Jack, just walk down the street and tell people to listen to me. And he said, but everyone on our street already listens to you. So, you know, this is the real question. It's not a question about personal fame. It's a question about ideas. And the one thing that characterizes human history is we've gone through these periods of crisis. I mean, I just was reading Barbara Tuchman's book, The Distant Mirror, which was about the bubonic plague in the 14th century. And this was a horrible catastrophe for Europe. Half of the cities were wiped out. A third of the population of Europe died from the plague. Universities were shut down for years. But out of this, a small group of reformers brought back the ideas of Plato. And they brought them from the Orthodox Church in Constantinople. They were brought back into Florence. And a renaissance was launched by people who said, we're better than this. We have to have these better ideas about how man deals with natural crises and how man deals with each other. And the Renaissance was this moment of soaring beauty brought about by a small handful of people who took advantage of the arts and construction, built the wonderful dome in Florence, and lifted people above the hour-to-hour grind to show them that human beings can do more. Now, here we have a moment in history where, as a people, we're about to become a spacefaring nation, going to Mars, going further out into the galaxy, trying to actually learn what causes things like heating and cooling of our planet. There's so many things that we can do, and yet we're stuck in a situation where a small group of gangsters can hold the most powerful nation in the world under their grips, tear down our industry, destroy our education, destroy our healthcare system, while they're making huge profits. Now, this is a dramatic moment, and we've got to produce dramatic effects by talking to people. And, you know, I was talking with Mrs. LaRouche yesterday, and she said, this is a moment for cooperation and solidarity. And that includes with other countries. You know, countries have to work together to solve this, not give up their sovereignty, but as sovereign nations work together as a community of nations with common aims. And I think if we can communicate some of these simple ideas, like wealth comes from physical production, not trading paper. You know, I mean, simple things like that, Sarah.
Yeah, basics.
It really sticks with people when they say, well, yeah.
Keep going.
So
you were
I'm
doing
not
good.
At all pessimistic. I think the question of getting some programs out there, getting people to realize that the American people historically have gone through these periods where we've had bubbles, we've had depressions, and then we pulled together and built our way out. Will we do that again now, or will we give in to the pessimism of the moment? And I'm hopeful that there are enough good people out there who listen to you, who listen to some of my other friends, and who now will take seriously the idea that they should take on the confusion of their friends and neighbors and actually talk to them, have a real conversation about what's the next generation going to do? What do we have to do to prepare for the world 50 years from now? These are the kinds of things that Americans used to get excited about, and we have to inspire that kind of thinking again.
Absolutely. It's all about rolling up our sleeves and getting it done. And I just love having you on. You make things very clear for people. I appreciate you so much. Where can others hear more about even just the what can people do? Because you do what, those weekly, you're out there giving people advice, the weekly seminars. So people can get ideas on what they can do to help. So where can they reach you?
Well, I'm now doing a daily 10-minute update in the morning in the U.S. It's 10 minutes. It's at LaRouche Pack Facebook. But people who don't like Facebook can find it on YouTube under LaRouche Pack. And it's just a daily briefing. It's got a picture of me, and it's 10, 12 minutes. The other thing is my blog page, which is on LaRouche Pack website. But I write an article every week where I try to encapsulate the most important developments. And people can sign up for that for free. The best way, and the reason I encourage them to write to me, so I'll send them the link, is that way I get to talk to through emails with a lot of people, and I get to know what you're thinking about and what people are concerned about and questions that people have. So you can reach me through my personal email, which is harleysch@gmail.com, harleysch@gmail.com, and just tell me in your note you heard me on Sarah's program and you'd like to know more, and you know, throw it at me. You want to disagree? Fine, let's have a discussion.
Well, but people learn through those discussions. That's what we need. As long as we're all have the same goals in mind, then the debating and the discussion is good. It gets us to understand things better and we can move, but we don't have much time here. We got to implement, we got to roll up our sleeves, and we got to get to work.
This is the next 2 or 3 months will be critical, because we'll be hopefully coming out of this coronavirus with a national election on our hands, hopefully a second term for a president who has shown a willingness to fight against the establishment, but he does need the support of an educated and an active American population.
Absolutely. Well, thank you for everything, Harley, that you're doing. Thank you so much for stepping up to the call. And I hope everybody goes to your site and follows you and helps gets more people to your site. And we just keep growing this educational movement of making things better for humanity.
That's the goal.
Thank you so much.
All right. Thank you, Sarah. It's always a pleasure talking with you.